If you would turn to the third book of John, not the Gospel of John, the third epistle of John, we will read verse 2 out of there. 3 John 1, 2. Father, we just ask you to give us attentive ears to hear what you're saying, that Lord God, that we come away challenged by your word, that we understand where you're leading us, God, and just cause our hearts to leap to see that you are bringing all this to pass worldwide. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 John 1, 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God has been speaking to me about our basic building blocks, and we started this year off with dealing with a plan. Now, how many of us have been convicted enough to put our plan on paper? That's good, because by the time I get done with you today, you will have a plan. Okay? How many of you have this plan in your head? Do you know that without writing it down, you're not accountable? That's true. You're not accountable. Because you could say whatever your plan is, and nobody would know. And the reason for a plan is God is building something, and He wants to build something in your life. Does anybody know what these are? They are correct. They are the building plans of my house when I did the renovation, because when we renovated the house, we would not have the comfort of where we're sitting right now, because we would all, actually the house ended right here. And without a plan, when we built this thing, we could have built something so haphazard that it would have looked totally different than what the plan is all about, right? And so what we need to do is understand that if you don't have a plan, what you're building is haphazard. In other words, you're allowing the enemy to build it for you, and you're accepting that. What you need to do is build according to God's plan. He has a plan for you, and if you have not set this plan in motion, you need to get onto it yesterday. Within this plan, there are all kinds of things. There are structural, engineering plans that are in here. We didn't put the trusses in a specific area where all the trusses were down there and nothing was here. Each truss was numbered. Each truss was put in its proper place so that we could maintain the integrity of the overall structure. And so there are engineering things in here, tells us the number of the trusses and stuff, all according to the plan. If I didn't have a plan, I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't have been able to renovate the house. I wouldn't have the things that we needed, that God wanted to do, because our plan was basically to have my mother-in-law come in and move into this house when she was tired of living by herself. But what would it look like if I didn't have a set of plans? And it took a year to draw the plans. It took a year to have those plans approved. It took a year to build this here. And a lot of you guys, I do appreciate, and I'll put you on the spot, helped. But it was according to the plans. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. It's really that simple. And I know none of you want to fail. But you need a plan. Because if you don't have a goal or a plan or something, how do you know where you're at? And what I said the second week was we were dealing with temptation, and I said that you know, the enemy, the first thing the enemy wants to do is tempt you not to have a plan. Because without a plan, there's nothing measurable. Your goals are hodgepodge. And God is a God of order. He speaks order out of chaos. Your life is in chaos because you don't have a plan to get out of it. So you're accepting what is not normal for the believer. Okay? It's normal for the world to act like that. It's not normal for the people of God to act like that. And so you are different. You need a plan. And that plan has to be submitted to God. He approves everything. And in that plan, you must begin to start speaking faith, which is what we talked about last week. Where are you going? And when delays come, do those delays make you crazy? Does it become frightful? Or do you get excited about what's going on? Because the enemy does not want you to fulfill what it is that he has God has for you. You may be saying, well, Pastor, you know, I had plans, but they kind of fell apart. Did you submit the plans to God? Man plans, but God brings it to pass. It's according to His will. And a lot of us think, just like Danielle thought, you know, I don't have to pray about this. You know, I don't believe in all this stuff. She came here. She sees the reality of the believers come together. And what do I say? When the saints start praying, they don't have a chance. They really don't. We are a praying church. Things are happening here, and God is preparing us. What is He preparing for us? The transition is to transfer us into an apostolic church. What does that mean? It is a church that is a dynamic church. It is a church filled with power and authority that Jesus Christ has given to the believer. It is a church that believes who they are because of what God says, not because of their feelings or situations or what other people say. God is definitive. And today I'm going to talk about prosperity. There are three steps to prosperity that God wants us to have. And then the foundation is laid in such a way that if you do not put these things into your life, how are you going to measure where you're going? Nick, you know that when you build a case and you're representing someone, you have to build that case. Now, whether you try it or not is immaterial. You still have to do the rudiments, correct? When you're building a house, structurally, you have to do the rudiments. We did that. We got a professional come in here, designed it for us. We told him what we wanted. He did this. We didn't like that. He did it again. We didn't like that. On the third try, we said, yeah, this will work. Why? Because we submitted it to God. God showed us what He wanted here. What He wanted here. It's key. What He wants. A lot of us think that, well, we submit this plan, and because God doesn't say anything, He's approving it. No. You don't know your Father. A lot of times, He's there saying, well, you know, maybe this isn't what's supposed to be worked. Maybe this is what I want you guys to do. Maybe I need you here. Maybe I need you to take away this stuff here. The bottom line is that we have to have a plan. It has to coincide with His will. And that plan for your life, is what He deems it to be. And we need to be asking the correct questions of, what do you want me to do, Father? What is it that you have for me? There are too many people out there that are worried about what other people think, and they don't worry about what God thinks. You know that God intends for you to be successful? Do you know that God, when Jesus died on the cross, that He broke the curse over us? Do you realize that poverty is from the act of the sin from Adam? And that all of us were under that? Do you realize that? And that when Jesus rose from the dead, He said, it's done. You guys are set free. You have been elevated from that. Remember we talked about how the anointing is an honor that elevates us above our enemies? You have been elevated in such a way that with your plans, you can wave these plans all you want. But if you don't have a plan, you don't know where you're at. You don't know what God wants. And some of you have your heartstrings being tugged, and I've talked with you, you know, this past week saying that, you know, you want to get on with God. What's your plan? It's not like I don't know anything more than that, but there are basics. And when you do the basics, guess what? God is so cool, He'll allow you to get past the basics. Really, He is. He wants you to get past the basics. But the basics are the basics. And prosperity is a basic. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 8 and 9, reads, "Therefore I urge you to affirm your love to him. For to this end I also write, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things." Obedient in all things. Scripture tells us that man plans, but God brings it to pass. What are your plans? What have you submitted to God? My job as pastor is to urge you to reaffirm to him, not to me, to him, that you love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do whatever you want to do. No. No. What is it, Daniel? If you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do, right? He's king, we're not. Right? And so there is a structure. Becky is learning that you know, she went to college, but she, and you got this drilled by both Holly and me, saying, you got to ask God, where is it that he wants you to go? And if he tells you where he wants you to go, which he did, whose responsibility is to make provision? God's. So he says to you, chill. I got it. I got your back. I got your front. I got left, right side. I got you under, over. I got you. But do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? This is yes. This is no. This is like, is what everybody else does. If you do not have a plan for yourself, I extol you, exhort you to make a plan. We have a plan. We've grown past the basics. And our plan is in such that it incorporates things that Irene and I want to do personally. It deals with me spiritually. Where is it that God wants you to be spiritually? Where does he want you to serve? What is his plan? Does he want you to go to college? Does he want you to go to trade school? What is it that he wants you to do? You know, we think because the world's dictating to us what it wants us to do, that we fail to realize that our Father has a plan too. And do you understand that this plan is world dominion? That you are the answer, the church, is for world dominion. That you are to rule and reign upon this earth with Jesus Christ for a minimum of 1,000 years. Well, you know, Pastor, I have a tough time believing it. But you can believe that the Baltimore Ravens is going to beat New England today, right? Then again, they may not. It's whatever God's will is. Right. I'm not a Brady fan, so it's easy for me to go for Ray Lewis and Baltimore. That's the other game that I have a problem with. I was a Seahawks fan, so. Let me tell you a story. Where 99% of the church is today, and it is a true story, and it has happened. Back in the 1800s and early 1900s, people were emigrating to come to this country. And the reason why they were coming to this country was to seek fame and fortune. They had opportunities to become what they believed that God had wanted them to become. And this was the only nation in the world at that time that, and still does, provide the opportunities for people to make good for themselves. So this one fella who was coming to America, they didn't have planes, so he had to buy a ticket on a steamer, and he worked hard, he saved his money, and he bought a third class ticket. Got into his cabin and stayed there. You know, all he did was he bought a third class ticket, he got on board, and he didn't have enough money to pay for the meals. So what he did was he brought enough crackers, the crossing took 10 days, and he brought enough crackers to sustain him. Well, just before they got to America, a storm hit. And the storm blew the ship off course, and they were out another 14 days. Well, of course, he ate up all his provision, and he never went to the dining room to eat because he didn't have money to pay for his meals. So he was starving so much, you could see the thin line. And those of us that have gone fishing know that that as you're out there in the ocean, you could see the thin line of the shore starting to come up. And this is where he was at. He saw America, but yet he was so hungry, he said, you know what, whether I live or die, I got to eat something. And when they find out I can't pay for this, you know what, I may have a new vocation working on the ships, cleaning and doing whatever it is to pay for this meal. So he gets dressed up and he goes to the dining room and he orders his meal and they bring a meal and he eats it and he's still not satisfied. Still thinking that, you know, well, I'm not going to worry about this at the end. I'm going to continue on. He orders a second meal and he eats it and he's quite satisfied with himself and he says, you know what? I have to pay the bill. I have to face this crisis now. So he asks the waiter, he says, I need my bill. I need my check. And the waiter looks at him like he's kind of crazy. He says, what bill would you like? And he says, all this food I've eaten, I need to pay the bill. Bring me a bill for it so I may pay the bill. And the waiter chuckled at him and said, don't you understand that all your meals were included in the price of the ticket? Did you catch it? Everything that was purchased for us to get to heaven is already paid for us. Already. And what we do as leaders of the church is we fill your heads with nonsense telling you you gotta wait to the by and by to get there. Well, I'm here to correct that and tell you, you have it now. It is yours now. Jesus provided it for you. But you need to make a plan. You need to speak words of faith over this. You need to submit it to God. You need to understand that in building prosperity, it all starts with the fundamentals. All of us would like a better job. All of us would like more money. All of us would like that. But how many of us are faithful in the little things? How many of us are faithful to the things that God has instructed us to do? Ooh, you're touching on something. Jesus Christ has given us everything that pertains to life, to love, to charity. He has not left us without anything. He has made provision. And as I explained about it, provision is goods before the vision. What is your vision? What is the plan? Because that's what a vision is. It is a plan that God has purposed for you. Now, the first thing we need to do is we have to check our motivation. Am I motivated for the King and the kingdom, and I will do whatever I need to do to fulfill His will and His desire? Or am I chasing these things for what I want, what I'm desirous of? Am I seeking my own fame and fortune? And when I have these things, am I concerned about those who have less than I do to be used as a funnel, a conduit to be a blessing to them? Or do I keep those blessings to myself? These are all our motivations. And one of the things I have learned, and John 3:16 tells me, that God so loved the world that He gave. Not God so loved the world that He received from it. Right? And this is where the world has twisted us. God gives, and we should exemplify what our Father does, but we do things as the world. We want to receive everything from God, and there's nothing wrong about receiving it. It's what we do with it afterwards. And so that's the reason why the church has said, you know, you're not able to have this right now. You're not able to handle this right now. You gotta wait till you get to the by and by. God's saying, I give it to you, it's already provided. Now what you need to do is grow out of your immaturity into maturity and start passing this on to others. Be like me, is what He's saying. Irene and I try. Irene and I try to do everything, and we're blessed beyond measure. We can't outgive God. Believe me, we're trying. But He has so many more resources to do that, you know what? I just keep submitting to Him. I just keep doing what He wants us to do. And He told me something this morning that I need to do. I need to elevate another 50% in my giving. And I will start doing that. How many of us has sat there and God has told us specifically to do something and it's like, that's not God. God didn't say that. He wouldn't want me to feel uncomfortable. After all, I live in America. I should have all the things that I want, all the things that I desire. Because that's what America is all about. God's not going to ask me to sacrifice. God's not going to ask me to do things that make me uncomfortable and put me in places that I'm not in control. No. Let's go through these three things, these steps that we have to take and see where you're at with that. Matthew 6:33. The first step is putting God first. Now Jesus is speaking, and He says here, starting in verse 30, He says, "Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is here and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not so much even more give you clothing? Oh, you of little faith! Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat, or what shall I drink?' But 'What shall I wear? Or how will I pay for this? Or where will the money come from?'" Right back? Mm-hmm. Glad you're with me, girlfriend. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have needed these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." Step one, do we put God first? Well, I go to church. Answer the question. Do we put God first? Is He first in my prayer time? Is He first in my family altar time? Do I put Him first in teaching my kids how to act and behave before Him? Do I teach His precepts to my kids? Do I live those precepts before my kids? Because as God is, that's what He expects us to be. Okay? It's not a series of doing. It's what it expects us to be. Every aspect has to be looked at. Are we the same at home and the same at church? Are we the same at home, church, and our vocations? Because God says, "I change not." But sometimes we put on these masks depending on the situation, the circumstances, the places that we're at, the people that we're friendly with. Is God first? Is God a reality to you? "Well, Pastor, you know, I'm just getting into this thing." I'm not talking about a believer that just got saved. I'm talking about a believer who's been walking with the Lord for a little bit of time. I'm not talking about a make-believer. Only you can determine that, and only God will prick your hearts for it. Are you concerned about His kingdom and His expansion and what He wants to do? Because His plan includes you and what He wants you to do. "Well, you know what? I feel like He's calling me into a profession." Okay, what kind? What is He telling you? "Well, I'm not really sure." Don't you think you need to sit down with Him, find out what He's telling you, where He wants you to go to school, what kind of things? Nick, you and I talked about this. And one of the neat things is you took a class on international law, then God provided you a way to go and learn about it even more. And it's like, God is so cool. And He will use that. He will put us in places to train us at the right time, will place us in those areas so that we can glorify Him, to win people to Jesus Christ. So the first step is God has to be first in everything. First in my job, first in my family, first in my personal life. And His plan takes precedence over my pleasure, over my comfort, over my finances. It's all His. Maybe some of us need to rethink about where our hands are. Are we holding on to our wallets, or are we taking them out and shaking it out for Him? all deals with the condition of our heart. Step two, God wants to prosper you, but he is not going to cause his prosperity to come upon you and it stay. He may prosper you for a little bit, but if your ways are wicked, guess what? He will allow the enemy to dry them things up. He will. Step two, understanding God's purpose for you. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And in the Greek, he's asking, which temple are you? Are you God's temple or are you the world's temple? Because God resides in us. We need to allow the purity and perfection to come from us. You're struggling with smoking cigarettes. God knows that. He says, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. But you're trying to do it in your strength. You're trying to do it through the flesh. Do it through the Spirit. You will have a better time of success. And that's real hard to hear. Pastor, you just don't understand what kind of struggle it is. I understand more than you give me credit for. I have my own struggles that I go through. And I've learned one thing. Staying in the Spirit, I meet success every time. And that's learning how to be in the Spirit all the time. God wants us to be walking, talking little Jesuses. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When we speak to demonic powers, they're cast out. That's who you are. You have power and authority over him, but if you do not do it the way he wants to establish you, you may see it somewhat, but eventually it will dry up. I want to do it God's way. God dwells in me. Think about this. The God, a creator of everything, of the universe, things seen and not seen, dwells in me, dwells in you. So that when we come together as brothers and sisters, we're like Mary coming to her sister-in-law, and the boys jumped. When I see you guys, my heart leaps. My heart leaps. We know there's a witness within us, and we know we're family. But there's sometimes not a witness. And this is what Paul's saying. What family are you? What family? What temple are you? Do you understand that the purpose of God is to speak through your spirit, to bring revelation to your mind, to motivate your flesh, to accomplish his will? Do you not understand this? It's very simple. It's not what the world influences. It's not what our friends try to influence us to do wrong. It's how God wants to respond to us and get us to live righteously. He dwells in you. He has filled you with power that you have not learned to tap yet on a consistent basis. And that's his desire. Because part of this tapping in is to live prosperously. As much as I've messed up in my life, I've repented quickly, I've got it under the blood, and God prospers me. Not because of me, but because of who dwells in me. I couldn't do it any better. The more I try to make things happen, the worse it becomes. And so we call that frustration. Okay? Think about it. How many times have you tried to make something happen and you get frustrated, you get angry? The issue is, it's an element of our flesh. We want to be in control. We want to do things our way. When I submit my plans to God, it means at your beckoning, God, whenever you want this to happen, it will happen. I'm set free. I just need to be ready when he calls. And be truthful with you, I'm ready all the time. We talked about sharing our testimonies Tuesday night in Overcoming Life. And we don't share our testimonies because, one, we don't think about it. And two, we're not prepared to share it with somebody. We're not looking for the opportunities to share. And God is ever, He says, go and tell them. Go and compel them. But we're not going. Why? Because we still think, in a juvenile sense, that what I do is okay. God loves me. I have grace from God. God can take... You do. But aren't you afraid to stand before Him and give an account as to why you wasted your life? I am deathly afraid. And I pray a prayer to Jesus. Pray that you are counted worthy for the kingdom. I know I'm messed up. I know I've done things. And my prayer is, God, forgive me that I may be counted worthy to be part of your kingdom. I'm but an unfaithful servant. And the longer I walk with Jesus Christ, I see how unfaithful I am. The longer you walk with Jesus Christ, my hope is that you are exhorted to be more like your Father, not like your spiritual father. I can only impart to you good things, but I have my difficulties too. The third thing. So we have to seek the kingdom first, and we have to understand His purposes in our lives. The third thing, and this really rocks the boat. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Daniel, would you read that for me? That way people will understand what I'm saying. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Yes. What is he saying? What specifically, in one word, is he talking about? Talking about tithing. Pastor, you don't understand. I don't make enough money to tithe. Pastor, you don't understand. I need to feed my family. I need to buy this next video game. I need to do this. I need to do that. All I've heard is the opera singer. I am the frito bandito. Tithing is not an option. It is if you live a life contrary to living a life structured by God prospering you. Tithing is the greatest opportunity that He has given to us to be like Him. Tithing starts in giving a tenth, the first fruits of all that you earn, and bring it into the storehouse. Where is the storehouse? It's your local church. I'm not asking our visitors to tithe here. You have your own fellowship. Tithe there. That's just the beginning of giving. It's God's. It's God's. But you don't have because you don't speak faith. You're doing things that you want to do. I was there with where you are. I used to give whatever I had left over. That's how I started. We'd go to church and Irene would say, what do you got? I'd look at my wallet. I got $3. Give it. And God sustained us through a whole week until I got paid again. What do you got? $4. Give it. And you do it. Until I learned that tithing was off the first fruits. Then it's like, I got $4. How am I going to make my bills? But I did it in obedience. I did it in faith to what God said. It is His responsibility to take care of my needs. It is my responsibility to be faithful with the 90% that He's given to me. That 90% requires an adjustment. It requires a lifestyle adjustment. It requires me being faithful to build a budget, a plan. A budget is a plan for your finances, which is one microcosm of the over plan for your life. If God is not God of your finances, He is not God over all. Because He's not God at all. He graciously gives to us 100% and much more. And then just humbly asks us to honor Him with what's His. The very best. The first. And that example is lived out throughout the scripture. Malachi 3, we know this scripture, verses 8 through 13. This is God speaking. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessings that there will not be room enough for it to be received and contained. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land. Within this scripture, there are conditions. And within these conditions, God promises us to prosper us. If we will take one microcosm of our life, our tithes, and trust Him by taking that tenth and investing it into His kingdom. Real silent now. But I don't have a J-O-B. Have you asked Him? But I can't afford it. Have you built a budget? We learned. There were certain things that we could not afford. But to be obedient to what God was calling, we cut them out. We trimmed it. We did what we had to do in order to honor God. And in honoring God first was more important to us because what He says here, He will stop the devourer. We didn't have sickness in our homes. When we needed extra, God provided extra in the job that I was working at the time when no one else was getting it. Think about that. Now, how is it that Stiles is able to get overtime, but we can't? Must be God. We never missed a meal. We were never late for a bill. But somehow, God provided for us. Maybe some of the plans that you guys are trying to set forth is you're trying to arm wrestle with God and make Him yield to your will when He's saying, don't work that way. You got to submit to what I want. But I don't think I have to. How's it working out for you so far? I know my Father in heaven has prospered me. That I don't owe anybody anything. And He has filled me with good things. Peace. Love. The ability to give to those who are in need. And I still don't lack. I still try to outgive God. I still try to give over and above the minimum that He says. I give to missions. I do all those things, and I still try to outgive him, and he still blesses me. He still prospers me. Why? Because this is the only scripture in the Bible that says, put him to the test. Prove him. See if he will not do it for you. See if he will not teach you a better way to live. And then, in our obedience to his instruction, see if not, if he will not provide for you to make you prosperous. So that others will say, guess what? You're blessed. I can see what God's doing. You're blessed. Your kids are never sick. And there's never any danger that comes to your tent. You know what? There's no troubles. There's nothing. You always have a smile on your face. You're always giving. You're always hospitable. You're always loving. Can you say that? Have you built a plan and submitted it to God? And that means every area of your life. If you've never done it, I tell you, take the time. Don't make a New Year's resolution. I don't believe in that nonsense. That's witchcraft. Make a plan. And I do it every year. December, I sit before the Lord and ask him what he wants me to do. And I write down what he says. And then we talk about it. And she tells me what God says. And we add it to there. We're past the basics. Because we know we got to do this. It's just like birthdays. I didn't get you a gift for your birthday. Well, you had 364 days. Guys, you ever hear that? You ever try to use that? I did. I messed up. I repent. I went out and got a gift. Now I'm never late. Because I had 364 additional days to make sure that's a reality. God's first. Make the plan. Two, understand that his plan is not arduous, but it is a plan that has a purpose for your life. He wants to prosper you. Don't listen to what the naysayers are saying. You'll never amount to this. You don't have the opportunity. I'm here to tell you that if he did it for Becky, who thought 2 years ago, how is this possible, to a point of, how am I going to pay for this? You're not. God is. So don't sweat the small stuff. And put her in a school that she didn't think was she had an opportunity to. But God told her where she was to go, has put her there, and he will make a way. Just keep studying, doing your part, and God will make a way. And tithe. Does that seem arduous to us? No. It's not arduous. But it reels against our flesh. Because we don't want to necessarily have someone tell us what we have to do. I'm not telling you. If things are working out for you and you like the way your life is going, hey, I'm just telling you what the master is saying. And you will give an account. You will give an account how much you love him. As Daniel read. How much we love him. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is alive. It is powerful. It is like a two-edged sword. It's able to cut between the spirit and the soul. God, I pray that we come away with a new perspective, a basic perspective, God. Because you are calling this church to be that one oak tree made up of many oak trees that when the storms come, it blows, but nothing will be shaken loose from it, God. Because we are in your will, Father. And you promise to take care of us. God, I just ask for grace. I ask for mercy for those who are toying with the idea that they would begin to implement the basics, God. God, you have such a plan for our lives. You have so much to give to us. You want us to flow in ministry like never before, God. You wanted to lift us up. You say that we're the head and no longer the tail. God, you call us blessed amongst the nations. This wasn't just for Israel. It is for your church today. God, make it our reality. Make it in such a way, God, that we really see beyond the scope of our realities here, that we begin to have eyes of the Spirit to look into the realities that You operate from. That You speak things that are not as though they were. And that, God, the same way we would speak those words of faith. God, I bind the enemy who would tempt us not to give into this reality, who would tempt us to be disobedient to Your word, God. I bind him in Jesus' name and loose the Spirit of Holy Spirit upon Your people today, God, to bring conviction to them that our hearts would be set right if we do these things that You called us to do. And Father, as we build line upon line, precept upon precept, I pray that You would bless Your people as they begin to take chaos and put it into order. Father, I ask that You bless their comings and goings, but more importantly, God, that You would keep them and direct them. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.